You need to buy Street Fighter 5 so you can get down.
What you gonna do?
What?
Oh, you fucked it up, Rodney.
Wait,
you say Bob, get down on it.
What were you saying you had to buy?
Street Fighter 5.
No, before that.
That's all I said. Oh, Bob needed an ice bucket for his fridge.
Oh, that is fucking riveting conversation, Bob.
I do. I need one.
Yeah, hey, here's a tip. Fucking buy one.
Riveting. Hey, it's a legitimate concern.
It is a legitimate concern.
Yeah. Go fuck yourself. Down with the sickness.
Step up, cause it's a fist with the beer. Seriously, what the fuck is he saying?
And with that, we welcome you to another episode of a blurst episode ever. This is Sadi along with Bob. Doing his best South Park impression, Rod.
No, Brett, take it off, get to me!
Doing his best Timmy impression is Rod. Hey, I got a question for you guys. You guys ever eat beets?
No, because I hate them.
Rod?
I do. As we all know, Negroes can't resist the beets. Eh? Anybody? Game show reference? No? Okay.
Well said. Have you ever eaten beets and then noticed that it looks like you shit blood?
Okay, so funny story. I guess it's not really funny. Your mileage may vary.
You're going to be like, I actually shit blood.
So the first time I had beets was at my aunt's house in Detroit, right? We were there for Thanksgiving.
Is that what she just whooped your ass and then she called it beets?
Had a beef by Dre? Beef by Tim, bitch?
Your mom's name was Andre? She's like, this is beets by Dre?
But the first time I ever had beets.
I think this is our best intro ever already.
I was at my aunt's house in Detroit. It was Thanksgiving dinner. We ate. It was delicious. I had beets, and they were okay, so I had a couple plates. They might feel bad. Later on that evening.
A couple plates of beets?
Plates.
Jesus serving. Christ,
yes. Later on that afternoon, I had to drop
Did your asshole beets. Sound like this?
No, my asshole sounded like John Cena's first song.
This is
basic thigonomics in there. Yeah, that's the one John Cena came up.
Alright, sorry, okay, go, sorry.
But yeah, so I dropped the deuce and it looked like I shit a log of actual blood. like it looked like I had just shit like a frozen clump of blood.
And did your poop say this? Wait for it. Wait for it.
It said the first part.
Wait for it. Your poop said this.
Your time is up. My time is now. You can't see me.
You can't see blood in your stool? My time is now. This is cancer up in your gut.
So, ironically, that's what I thought it was. And I started freaking out so hard. And I didn't want anybody else to panic, so I didn't want to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
I also wanted to leave the bathroom because I think I was having a nervous breakdown.
Yeah, you did it the way all of us do, which is keep it to ourselves.
Shit, and, am I dying?
Yeah, and it'll go away.
Don't tell anybody, it doesn't exist, right?
Yeah.
So like, I was in the bathroom for like 30 minutes just like freaking out, panicking.
Hey, Rodney, right? Is you jerking off in there?
No, Grandma.
Should I shit again just to be sure? Maybe it was just the one time. Maybe it was just like with the one thing that was wrong with me. Eventually I get out, just be cool, play it safe. Somebody else mentions, like, I think it was Tony at the time. He's like, yeah, like, oh, you know, beats make you poop, right? Ah, it's a funny fact.
I've literally, like, only had maybe, like, half an ounce of beets, and it made my, like, shit turn to blood. And I was just like,
yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, my God. And I was like, why is there small intestine in these beets? No, but seriously, like, I, the first time I wiped my ass after I had beets, I was like, oh, my God, I have cancer. I'm going to die.
Yeah, dude. Like, it's just fear. It's just pure fear.
It's the ultimate fear,
nothing
yeah.
else you can do about it.
So did you wipe harder where your asshole actually started bleeding?
No, I stuck my finger up there. Like, it was like, yeah, like if there's blood, like, it's going to be, like, way up there. So, like, I got my mom's dildo, and, like, I put it with toilet paper, and I just jammed the shit out of that butt. Literally.
The legend was born.
So, you think you're untouchable?
Word life!
This is basic thugonomics. Scratch. Word life. Basic thugonomics. Scratch. Basic thugonomics.
Oh my God.
Were you going to say, Bob, you like the what?
I forgot.
You literally just said it.
I forgot. I really did forget.
Okay, well,
nice fucking bitch.
Yeah, well, on this episode, we are going to finish WrestleMania 32, hopefully.
Oh, God.
Not, though. Can we just say we did and just not do it?
Because the first half was the good half, and we're into the shit half right now. And we are going to start with Dean Ambrose versus...
Let's do this! That's right, Dean Ambrose versus Paul Heyman. Let's go.
Brock is ready. Brock is ready. So, this was the no-holds-barred street fight, I guess? Is that what it was?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's what it was. A no-holds-barred street match.
And I've got a, like, so it's Dean Ambrose versus who?
Brock Lesnar.
The human suplex machine.
Brock Lesnar! And I am here tonight as the representative for Brock Lesnar. The conqueror himself, my client, Brock Lesnar!
Doesn't sound anybody Brock else like he's having I am confident every Brock increasing attention Lesnar orgasms every time he says his name.
You want to see your husband fight Brock Lesnar? You got it! It's on!
Yeah, it sounds like he's screaming his pants harder and harder.
Brock Lesnar. Friend in the world, Brock Lesnar. I got two words for you. Brock Lesnar!
Yeah. So, yeah. Like, yeah, I mean,
well, that right there is the highest form of blackmail.
She's my guy. Brock Lesnar!
How does he make a fucking catchphrase out of Brock Lesnar's name? That's how good Paul Heyman name? Is.
That's pretty good, right?
That's how good fucking Heyman is. I mean, Jesus Christ, but good Lord, was this match not good.
Oh, no.
Did it not live up to anything how they built us up? So the entire premise was Dean Ambrose is never going to back down, encapsulated by when Brock Lesnar, F5. F5'd Ambrose on the outside of the ring and did an incredibly badass thing by stepping on his face to walk past him to see, like, how much of a nothing he was. And as the feud went on, it became worse and worse and worse and culminated in this abortion of a match that should have been... This match went 13 minutes long. This match should have gone at least 25 minutes and should have had at least Dean Ambrose kicking out of an F5. at least one time.
Yeah. I don't understand the basis of this match. If it was to get Dean Ambrose over, it didn't at all.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, Brock pins him after F5-ing him once. That is all. That is all for the slap together match that was supposed to be the Wyatt family against Brock before I think it was Bray Wyatt got injured. So they had to slap together this match as the savior match to go behind it. And I will completely admit, this was the match I was most hyped for on this entire card. It was this fucking match. And oh God, did it disappoint.
Yeah. The thing with me was all the Raws that led up to this WrestleMania. Like, I liked all the promos they did. And even like the whole, like, you know, they had Mick Foley come out, give him Barbie, and then Terry Funk give him the chainsaw. It was like, cool, it might end up being like a really, really bloodbath match. And it was not.
It was a squash. A squash.
So I said this earlier, but, you know, beforehand. Can we ever just see
you mean
Dean
in
Ambrose
last week's
be
episode?
Actually crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we keep calling him the Lunatic Fringe
or
whatever.
They got close to it with the build-up to this match. Which was, no matter what the fuck Brock Lesnar did to him, Dean Ambrose was like, I'm coming for you. Even when he's getting his ass kicked. There's nothing crazier than that. That's Cape Fear.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what that is. You're getting the shit kicked out of you, and you're like, yeah, no, I'm still coming for you. Still coming. Still coming. Still coming. And then he loses cleanly in 13 fucking minutes in the middle of the ring after he does nothing.
That's the thing.
This one match killed Dean Ambrose dead. He's fucked. This is John Cena killing the Wyatts. This is what this is. Dean Ambrose is finished.
Yeah, there's not much you can do to come back from this. I mean, so as it is, Dean Ambrose isn't physically capable of actually wrestling Brock Lesnar.
Right.
Like, he can't lift him.
The story. That's the story. That's why he had all those weapons building up to this match.
But that's the thing. But like, so again, I keep hearing that he's a lunatic fringe. Like, he's just this side of being completely fucking batshit crazy. This match was the perfect opportunity to show it. Yep. Even if he did, even if Brock had won.
Completely agree.
Yeah.
But like, just to have like Brock beat Dean Ambrose down, he thinks like, if I was outside the ring, he's back in the ring, starts beating his dick about how awesome he is. And then he turns around and Dean Ambrose is standing up with a kendo stick in one hand and like a fucking barbed wire baseball bat garbage can in the other hand. And like, he's not having this shit.
Yep.
Yeah. And he gets back in the ring. Brock hits him. He drops one of the weapons. He just keeps coming. He hits him again. Drops another one of the weapons. Keeps coming. You had like just perfect setup for it. Like, this was literally the only match in the WWE where you could have this happen. And you just have Dean Ambrose keep coming back for more with more crazy shit in his hands. And you have Brock have a moment where he's freaking the fuck out.
Yeah.
And then he eventually wins.
And this is like almost the perfect double turn match. What it should have just been Brock Lesnar beating the shit endlessly out of Dean Ambrose. But the problem with this is that it's a face versus face match at this point because Brock's a face. So they couldn't have Brock be too vicious. And at the same time, they couldn't have Dean Ambrose take too much of his offense because they can't make Brock look weak. So they fucked themselves into a corner like they always goddamn do. And they have no way of writing themselves out of it. And the right out of it would have been, you know what? Brock turns heel again, and Brock isn't a heel. He's a tweener. Brock doesn't give a fuck about anybody else but himself. That's all he gives a shit about is himself. So even if he beat the shit out of Dean Ambrose, it doesn't make Brock a less of a face at all, because that's what Brock does. Brock beats the shit out of people. Yeah. Like, you know how disappointed I was when I watched the Royal Rumble? I watched it in Orlando when I was there for work. And then I rewatched it on the pay-per-view, and like, what clicked with me the second time is like how they pussified Brock Lesnar. Is if heel Brock got eliminated from the Royal Rumble under these dubious circumstances, he would have gone in that ring and eliminated everybody and gotten on an empty ring for the next like two competitors. But they pussified him so much that he's just like, okay, I'm gonna walk to the back because the referees told me so. Like, are you fucking kidding me? That's not that character. Right. At all,
right.
they're defeating the character to the point of telling no story. It's not even they're telling a story; they're telling no story to the detriment of their characters. It's a yeah. joke. It's a fucking joke.
Is yeah. what it is. The thing with Brock is because the whole, I think it's his downfall as his Beast character came through the Undertaker wanting revenge for the WrestleMania loss. Because for me, that's when it starts going downhill. Like all, like it's just a slope, and it keeps going.
Well, even then, if Undertaker won revenge, the revenge should have been Brock Lesnar kicking the shit out of him. Like even worse. Yeah. I mean, Brock beat the shit out of your biggest star of this generation. He crushed John Cena into pulp.
Yep.
At Royal Rumble 3 years ago, or 2 years ago.
SummerSlam.
Three years ago. No. Oh, SummerSlam. That's right. SummerSlam. Yes, I'm sorry. 2 years ago?
Yes, yeah, 2 years ago.
Crushed him to fucking pulp. That's I will tell you, that's what brought me back into watching wrestling on the regular was that one match. Because I would just follow it by reading the results online. And that was the one match where I was like, I've got to see this. Like, they finally beat the shit out of John fucking Cena. I am down to watch that shit. And then what'd they do the next match? Cena gets all of his offense in, and Brock ekes out a victory. Yeah. It's this 50-50 booking shit. If you want Brock to be a monster, let him crush everybody. That's fine. But you've got to use him as a crutch to build other people up. I don't mind John Cena getting offense on him. I don't mind if Roman Reigns gets offense on him. I don't mind that Dean Ambrose gets offense on him. But the problem is like, there's no in-between. Like, they castrated Roman Reigns by Roman Reigns not beating Brock last year or 2 years ago at WrestleMania. What they should have done was either Roman beats him clean or Brock beats the shit out of him and then Seth Rollins comes down. It's one of those two. There's no fucking in-between because Brock's not an in-between guy. He either gets his ass kicked through dubious circumstances or he beats the shit out of people. They've made him a monster enough that he could fight five people at once and he wins.
Yeah.
What if they booked themselves into a fucking corner? They booked him into being a monster, and he's a legit awesome draw. But man, like, what the fuck else are they gonna do with him? They can't keep him away from the championship for so long.
Yeah, well, even Brock, him, like, there was like rumors that he's like not happy with what's going on. Like, he wanted that match. He wanted that.
He should bloodbath. He should be legitimately the WWE champion for the next 3 years. Is what he should be. He should just hold the championship because there's nothing else that him as a character needs. What's his character motivation in the wrestling world? They had it in this match. They really clicked with Brock was disgusted at the idea that Dean wouldn't back down. Great story. Great fucking story. And my God, did they shit the fucking bed with it. They shit the bed. And the idea that like that Dean didn't back down and then loses in one F5.
And that's kind of my problem.
End of it.
Because you fucking, like I said, again, the whole Dean Ambrose is a lunatic fringe. He's a face. He's a great wrestler. He's a strong. He's a whatever the fuck else.
Right.
You build him up. You give him this nice little rivalry with Brock where it all culminates in, you know, in the biggest show of them all, allegedly. And but you don't do anything with it.
You mean Wrestle Kingdom 10?
Wrestle Kingdom 10. But All Fire Pro Wrestling 10. But
he's talking about Triple A Mania.
Triple A Mania.
I do have Fire Pro Wrestling in my PS2 in my bedroom right
nice.
Now.
Nice. Nice. But the thing is that you had the opportunity to build up two characters. You could build up Brock as this monster, like, okay. Like, yeah, I've been being a pretty decent guy, so you know that I'm an unstoppable beast, but I hadn't had to flex in a while, so let me flex and let me, because this guy's standing up to me being a monster, let me fucking remind everybody why I'm the fucking monster. Yeah. Have Brock go all out and just be a fucking a demon.
Yeah.
And you have Dean Ambrose be like the kind of crazy, like you said, the Cape Fear, this is actually really scary kind of crazy.
Yes.
Yep. The Dean Ambrose being, you know, like Brock is giving him everything he's got and telling him to stay down and doing all the yelling and the ring work and the Michaelis mic work.
And they don't even need that. They could have just Paul Heyman yelling at him to stay down. They've done really effective matches where Paul Heyman is yelling at the guy Brock's beating the shit out of to just stay down. Brock is going to kill you.
Yeah.
Imagine the emotion they could have had in this match based on that. It's like Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair territory in terms of Paul Heyman begging Dean Ambrose to stay down because Brock is going to murder him. But yeah, no,
Brock is literally going to fucking kill you. Yeah. Like, this is not a joke. He is literally going to end your fucking life. You keep standing.
But The Rock needed 30 fucking minutes of endless torture on the fucking crowd to do whatever the fuck he needed to do with that bullshit 20 to 30 minute garbage that he had. He could, 5 minutes of that couldn't have been given to Brock and Dean Ambrose to make an effective match where both men got over. No. Why do that? Why do that?
Yeah.
This is where we went back to the same thing we talked about the last episode. It's this fucking booking for this whole pay-per-view. Like, it is atrocious. This fucking match, it angered me after I watched this. I was like, what the fuck was this? That was literally the thought that went through my head after watching this match. What the fuck did I just watch?
So out of all the non-pre-show matches, which, and not counting the Battle Royal, which do you think had the least amount of time for it?
Definitely this one.
Yeah, this one seemed like by far to be the shortest match.
So it was the 6-man tag, but this match went 3 minutes longer than the 6-man tag.
Wow.
Shane and Undertaker went 30 minutes. And Triple H and Roman Reigns went 27 minutes.
Ugh.
Triple H and Roman Reigns should have been a 12-minute match. At the most, 12 minutes. And you could have given that fucking time to Dean Ambrose and Brock Lesnar. This was a goddamn travesty of what they could have told a story about. And they didn't because they're fucking lazy.
Because, I mean, and to me, if you, and maybe, it's not unrecoverable, but if you would have taken the time and you would have played this right, played it straight, played like you should have in the first fucking place, like I said, you build up Dean Ambrose and you build up Brock Lesnar. But more importantly, you give somebody, you give the WWE one person that's not John Cena that doesn't have to lay down and take Brock's shit.
Yep.
You give Dean Ambrose, and again, you could have done the exact same thing with
so
with,
well
with
said,
Baylor.
Rod. That is so well said. That is really well said.
Mm-hmm.
That was structured perfectly. You're building up somebody who could stand up to Brock Lesnar. I mean, that's so well said. You're right.
That's what it should have been, because you have someone with Baylor with the demon could also do it, honestly, but you have someone with the right gimmick to be able to, like, Brock Lesnar comes in like. Everyone is fucking concerned, and you got this guy, what gives no fucks. Like we were talking about during the NXT show with Baylor being half the demon, half just being, it was Baylor, right? That's his name?
Yeah, Finn Balor.
Finn Balor. But like we're saying, give the demon like an actual character.
He does crush boxes and paper, so he is a Baylor also.
But it's the same thing. So you have Dean Ambrose, and like the longer the match goes, the fucking crazier he gets. Or even more importantly, like you do the same thing with Dean Ambrose that you tried really hard to do with Hardcore Holly. Where the hardcore match shit, that's his. So like in normal fucking WWE rules, yeah, he's Dean Ambrose, you know, it's whatever, he'll wrestle and does some cool shit. But he's dying and begging to get the hardcore match. So every time fucking Brock Lesnar wants to run his mouth, Dean Ambrose is there to threaten a fucking no holds barred blood sport match.
Right.
And you get to see Brock be concerned, like, because you can't have an unstoppable Titan.
I think you're in a really good avenue right there. But I think to me is Brock should never be concerned. Paul Heyman should be concerned.
Yeah, because Brock Lesnar's just a giant monster.
Exactly. Brock should never be scared of anything. Heyman should be scared for Brock. I'm like, hey, Brock, maybe you should take this a little bit more seriously than you're taking it. Type of thing.
Yeah. Well, and definitely that. And I mean, like, he needs to fucking sit there and shit himself in his pants. But, like, the whole, and not like, and again, not like vocalized here, but, like, you know, the moment when you see him give pause in the middle of a match. Like, so, like, he beats Dean Ambrose down, fucking, he gets up and walks in the back of the ring like he's hot shit. He turns around, Dean Ambrose is up. Or Dean Ambrose just fucking catches him.
Rod,
with some bullshit.
It's, you know what the perfect encapsulation was that? When we discussed the NXT Heavyweight Championship with Baylor and Samoa Joe. When Samoa Joe hit Baylor with the Balor with the muscle buster, and Balor kicked out, and Samoa Joe's face said everything you needed to see.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That exactly
shock
that.
And he's dumbfounded and he cannot believe what the fuck's happened.
Yeah. Like Brock hits him with the F5. Not only does Dean Ambrose kick out, he flips out. He does So you basically take the I'm crazy part of fucking Randy Orton's gimmick and you give it to the guy that you keep saying is actually crazy.
Exactly.
So yes. He does the pounding the mat. Yes. So he gets F5 by Brock. The first time he kicks out, and you know, Brock's okay, whatever, you kicked out. This is annoying. He gets fucking F5 the second time. He kicks out again and he starts beating the mat and acting almost like a fucking raving lunatic.
Yep.
And then then Brock has that look on his face that Samoa Joe had on his face.
Yeah.
And it's like, what the fuck am I looking at?
And you know I would be down if they did the Stone Cold ending with him where his only realization was to beat the shit out of Dean Ambrose with a steel chair 10 times, F5 him, pin, end of match. He beats the shit out of him.
If Dean Ambrose never stops, if basically Dean Ambrose just falls unconscious.
Exactly.
But he never actually stops coming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and you just have Paul Heyman there fucking having a conniption fit.
Yeah.
And like trying to stop Brock, trying to stop Dean, trying to stop the match.
And you know what even a better story would have been? The entire thing of like Dean Ambrose kicking out of the F5, like the way you said it, perfect. I completely agree with that. And then Brock beats the shit out of him with a chair, F5s him. Pins him, but Dean Ambrose kicks out at like 4 instead of 3. Yeah, he kicks
like
out at
one,
4.
1, 2, 3. Like the belt, like right when the third count goes down, Dean Ambrose kicks out again.
Yes,
and he doesn't even realize the match is over.
Exactly.
He still wants
and
to
then
fight.
He drags like himself. Has to drag. He keeps Brock dragging himself to Brock Lesnar's feet, and Paul Heyman, you're right, has to pull Brock Lesnar out and say, "You're going to kill him. Like leave. Like you're going to kill him." How does that not accomplish everything you wanted to tell right there?
Like. You make not only do you make does Brock stay a legitimate threat, like you make Dean Ambrose a legitimate threat to everyone.
And it's not even you've kept Brock a legitimate threat. You've made him a murderer. Like he had to have his manager take him out of the ring because he was going to kill somebody.
No, you've made him. You've made him as dangerous as you've hyped him up to be for the last like 10 years.
Yes, exactly.
Like. Yeah. That's the only thing I could think of when I was watching that match. Is like they're doing this. All fucking wrong.
I mean, we should basically turn like anything WWE non NXT related into how we would have booked this because that's exactly how it is. Yeah. Like every match, we've said like how we would have booked this fucking better.
And that is one thing that I will also disagree with Bob on really quickly. Sorry not to cut you off.
Yeah, no, go for it. Sorry. No worries.
I think there's a delay in our mics because it sounds like you stop talking and then I start talking and then you start talking again. So I feel like a dick.
You call my mics cheap, son.
But I don't think it's how they book the matches. Like I don't think the booking is the problem. I think the storytelling. I think the direction.
But the booking is a symptom for sure. But that's the thing. They're hand in hand though. That's the problem because they have guys who, you know, I don't want to preach the Jim Cornette ways because you know Corny's kind of crazy, but he's right though. He's like if you have all these Hollywood writers who. Don't know shit about wrestling. They don't know how to book a fucking match either.
Right. They're trying to sell a fractured fairy tale.
Yeah. And it's like
that's the hard part.
Yeah. And they could eat. And then, you know, it's a problem. There's not a big problem because there's guys who have wrestled, who are there working, Steamboat, Arn Anderson, Fit Finley.
Yeah, but they don't have a say. They're the road agents that book the match.
Yeah.
I mean, they book the match to the outcome that the writers say that they have to get to.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the thing. They should be asking those guys, like, hey, what do you think would work here? Instead of being like, hey, this is what we want. Make it work.
You know what we need?
What?
Oh, it's coming.
Oh, God.
Listen how Lemmy says Evolution.
Evolution. It's not. It's not a thing. We've seen all the changes. That doesn't even make any sense, Lemmy. Doesn't even make any sense.
Yeah, but I mean, I know what you mean, Rob, but it unfortunately with... Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, with the way the WWE is getting booked, that's how it is, though. It's the writing is what's causing these horrible bookings.
Yeah, and I'll say that the primary problem is the writing. Like I said, the booking is a consequence of that.
I love how you idiots ignored that.
I did.
You can't ignore this, though.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow. Whose song is that?
Oh, listen to it.
Which theme song is it?
Oh, you're gonna wait for it, brother. Come on.
I've never heard this. So wait, whose theme song is this?
Oh, that's right.
What a rush.
How does that one? That's fucking Hawking.
No, this is Wyndham and Rotunda's song.
this is not Bray Wyatt's song.
No, you remember that, right? From the original the original tape DVD CD, where it was supposed to be for Wyndham and Rotunda. It wasn't supposed to be Hulk Hogan's theme song.
Oh, really?
Who?
Yeah. It was Barry Wyndham and Mike Rotunda.
Well, you know Bray Wyatt's name is Wyndham Rotunda or Rotundo Wyndham?
No, it's Wyndham Rotunda.
Wyndham Rotunda, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It was Barry Windham and Mike Rotunda's theme song.
Okay, so I know Bray and those guys, but whose song is that?
God. That was Oh no, I guess he could say his name now because it's been he won that case.
It's been.
Yep. Jesus.
1 week since you looked at me.
Mm-hmm. Sing it, brother. Sing it.
That's all I know. I'm too black for Smash Mouth. Apparently.
That was Smash
that's
Mouth.
That's Pernickel Ladies.
I don't know. Was it?
It's BNL, bro. Bare Naked Ladies.
Chumbawamba?
Do you get knocked down and get up again?
Never going to keep me down. I remember there was an issue of She-Hulk where they were partying in the Avengers Mansion. There's the episode where she got kicked out of the Avengers Mansion because she kept partying the next day. She was playing that song.
Oh, God.
That's the one.
Oh God!
Here's the jam. Here's a jam right here.
Oh boy!
Is it Drake? What the fuck is that?
Oh wait! Wait till it hits you. Wait till it hits you. Once it hits your lips.
Oh God!
Once it hits your lips.
I don't know what this is.
It's your favorite Three Little Boy band, buddy. You'll hear it.
We're going to get sued for this episode.
We're not making money off it, so who cares?
Oh, that's true.
Oh, God.
I'm not even kidding.
Futurama made me a fan of this song. Here we go, Rod. Here you go. You ready? You ready?
Yeah, sure. Oh, fuck you. You fuck right off.
Oh, I can't believe we played a minute of Bop on our podcast. Oh, no wonder nobody ever.
Right
no wonder nobody ever listens to us.
Oh my God, dude.
Oh my God.
What playlist are you playing?
1990s douchebag list.
Is this what's on your phone? Is this what you work out to in the morning?
No, this is what Roman Reigns comes out to for his song.
That new Roman Reigns shit, boy.
It's either this song or this one.
Is this Jeff Jarrett's?
Alright, I gotta stop playing music. We're gonna get so sued. That's that Little Miss can't be wrong.
Oh my god.
Anyway, C-. Talking about this show that I hate.
C-.
Where were we?
Yeah, we're grading it now with Brock Lesnar, Dean Ambrose.
Oh, right. That chick gets a flat up.
Jeez.
Oh man, I have Jeff Jarrett's theme queued up too.
Oh, please don't.
I thought you were gonna call him Slap Nuts.
Ain't he great?
Oh, Jesus.
Here he is, man himself.
Robert Fuller was an awesome hype man. J-A-double-I-E-double-T.
It's I think it was, you know what's sad? This is more interesting than WrestleMania was.
Yes. That's why I'm not complaining like I usually would be.
Us just playing random clips.
Yeah.
We should just talk about the match for 2 minutes and then just fucking do random shit.
Because at least I don't want to fight a motherfucker after this shit.
Oh my god. I think like that was only good. I mean, the J-E-double of J-E-double or E-double-T is awesome, but the Ain't He Great puts it way over the top in terms of just badassness. Ain't He Great! Right. All right, so the Brock Lesnar-Dean Ambrose match, guys, what do you grade it?
C-.
Like, flat out, straight up F. Fuck
what?
That. Fuck that match. Yeah, straight up. Fuck that.
Wow.
It did right. Nothing. It did nothing for me.
I respect that. I would give it a C- also, because... I think it was enjoyable, but Rod, I completely agree. It did absolutely nothing to advance either guys. It was garbage.
Yeah, I mean
storyline wise, yeah.
Yeah, it did nothing.
Okay.
Like straight up.
So next we get into Charlotte versus Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks, the triple threat for the newly debuted women's championship, and thank God. They've gotten rid of the goddamn Divas Championship. I've been preaching about that for a while, getting rid of that.
Because it's sexist and offensive?
Oh, yeah. And I like my bitches like I like my pussy. Wet and white and pink.
I don't understand.
Was you like pink women?
And what? I'm just kidding. No, I'm really happy they finally got rid of that fucking garbage ass Divas. That labeling your women's wrestlers Divas is so fucking insulting and bullshit. And it fit the Sable. And the irony was the Sables and the Litas and the garbage ass wrestlers had a women's championship. And then it became like once they started getting like swimsuit models and then like Kelly and all those fucking weirdo like people that I lost track of because they all fucking suck dick. I mean, suck vagina. That they brought in the Divas thing and it was like super insulting for like actual current day awesome wrestlers. And I'm glad they finally brought the women's belt, the women's championship, I should say, that it's called now after Alundra Blaze dropped in a trash can many years ago. It's been resurrected twice since then. But still, what did you guys think about Charlotte retaining over Becky and Sasha? Bob.
Not a fan.
Rod.
For me, it made no sense. Absolutely no. No, you have
so, Bob, how would you book it?
Sasha Banks should have been the one that gone over.
Yes, okay. It's time to play the game.
Yeah. No, I mean, she's the most... over Diva. Well, sorry. I'm sorry. Woman's superstar.
Nah, did I mention that Charlotte beat him?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So Charlotte beat them with interference from Ric Flair, which will play into my whole thing afterwards. But Bob, please continue. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Sasha Banks should have won the match clean. No shenanigans, no gimmicks. She's the most over woman on the roster. The fans want her. It makes total sense that she should have won. And then you would have had a great rivalry between her and Charlotte afterwards. You know, Charlotte trying to get her title back. And then Becky Lynch would have been thrown in the mix after that, saying like, oh, you lost your belt. It's my turn. And you would have had a good revolving door between all three of them in terms of good matches. Because they all three have good matches together, no matter who's wrestling who. I've never like seen one that I've been disappointed in.
Okay, Rod, what do you think?
I did agree with you. I like that they got rid of the whole Diva thing. I like that they're trying to legitimize their women's wrestling. I feel like they should have done this ages ago. But I digress. Progress is progress, right?
Yeah.
I kind of like the match. It has a lot of, like, so last year's NXT women's match was still ridiculous. It had a lot. This one had, like, a lot of the same pitfalls and trappings of every other women's wrestling match. Except for that last year's NXT one, which was fucking dope as shit. It was good, I guess. I mean, it wasn't terrible. It wasn't the last match. That's a step up.
Could not have been said any more condescending. but yeah,
I didn't like it that much. I'm sorry.
No, this was not anything close to how good the NXT matches have been. This was a mess. Like, Sasha was blowing spots. Becky blew a, I think she blew the tap out spot.
Yeah.
Here's the thing is, like, I mean, I kind of got this from Botchamania also, which was like in triple threat matches, Michael Cole made the point of saying that there's no rope breaks, there's no DQs, there's nothing. But in this match, they rope braked once somebody got to the rope at a submission move, which doesn't make sense. Like, that doesn't make sense. Charlotte should not have retained the title because it's gotten to the point now where if anybody that wrestles Charlotte doesn't immediately kick Ric Flair in their in his balls, they're fucking retarded. They're retarded.
Yeah.
They've seen him time and time and time and time and time again cost other people matches for the benefit of Charlotte. So they should just walk down the aisle, kick him in the nuts, and throw him up the aisleway into the back. And there you go. Problem solved. And Charlotte won't be champion. I understand being a pussy heel. I mean, that's what Seth Rollins was for the majority of his fucking title reign, was him being a pussy heel. I get that. Mm-hmm. But it's not... Charlotte shouldn't be a pussy heel. I like that she's adapted. Because I was never a Charlotte knob schwabber like a lot of people were. I thought she was incredibly overrated. I think she's a good worker, horrendous on the mic, horrendous with her mannerisms. Like, she's Roman Reigns. Like, a good worker that gets pushed for reasons I don't understand, except for heritage. That's the only reason. And the only reason she gets pushed is because of heritage. That's it. She's not spectacular. She's a good worker. Like, she's good. She's really great at selling, just like Roman Reigns is. But for her to, like, hold a title? No, not at all. Like, she's the type of person who's, like, she's had to usurp her dad's image to get over. And that hasn't worked. And I probably got to give her a little bit of credit because it didn't work for Curtis Axel. And it didn't work for Cody Rhodes. And it didn't work for a bunch of people to, like, or Ted DiBiase Jr. It didn't work for them to kind of usurp their parents, like, that what they brought to the business. And she has, so, like, kudos for her for that. But the only reason that worked is because they turned her heel. And they basically adapted to the point of, like, I'm basically Ric Flair Jr. That's what I am. And, like, I'm a woman, but I'm Ric Flair Jr. And I think that's a great little twist on it. And it works as hers a heel for sure. That's awesome. Like, hers a face doing this Ric Flair shtick? Like, not at all. It's fucking terrible. But as a heel? Works. But she should not have won this match. I was honestly, like, I'm a huge Sasha Banks fan. A huge Sasha Banks fan. But I think Becky Lynch should have won. This was Becky Lynch's match to win. She had the journey. Sasha didn't have the journey up to WrestleMania. The storyline told the journey of Becky.
Yeah. Yeah. And, thinking about it now, yeah, you're right.
And she should have won, but she didn't because the writers didn't feel that way. This is yet another match where the wrong person won, where the wrong kid died. We're on four for five where the wrong person won the match. The wrong person.
Yeah. And the one thing the one takeaway from this match too is that when people say, oh, this match was really good, like it showed solidified women's wrestling, I'm like, okay, it was an okay match for what it was. But the thing I hate is that it's one of those matches that had a spot that everybody always says, like, oh my God, did you see when Charlotte did the moonsault? I was like, okay. The moonsault was cool, but that should not dictate the match being a good match.
Did they watch when Sasha completely blew that sunset flip off the top rope and missed everybody and, like, pancaked on her back?
Yep, I saw that, and I was like, yeah, that's why I was like, oh boy, this is an awful match.
Look, I don't, it's not awful, it's not good.
Well, I mean, like, that was an awful spot.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's right in between. It's like, it wasn't great, it wasn't good. Yeah. I mean, like, I mean, I'm in Rod's territory. We've seen what these women can do in NXT. How is it so hard to fucking translate to the main roster? How is this so difficult?
Yeah.
Like, I get you're trying to tell a different story or, like, a build up to that story, but you could still tell a story after everything. Like, the story, the match doesn't always have to tell a story. Like, the story could be after all that shit. Like, it just gets very frustrating watching three incredibly talented women have a kind of mediocre match. Like, this to me is like, this is like a C-minus match. It was whatever.
It wasn't good.
I mean, from what we've seen in the past at the NXT shows and even the one before this, Dallas NXT, mm-hmm. with Bayley versus Asuka, that was a way better match than this fucking match.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it was a short, was it one, like 14 minutes? It wasn't even that long.
60 minutes.
So it's the same amount of time and freaking great match.
Yeah.
For what it was, but this one, it just fell so flat. And then the force, you know, the Ric Flair ending, you know, like, oh, she needed to cheat to win. I'm like, okay, yeah, but
I'm with you. Like, I'm getting tired of, you shouldn't have to cheat to win at WrestleMania.
Yeah,
if you have to cheat at WrestleMania, you should lose.
You know, but this thing, like, so you don't belong there. It's like cheating when you're playing in the Super Bowl. If you had to cheat to get there, you don't fucking belong there. Like, and it's become kind of comical, I guess.
Here's where Rod goes on his Tom Brady rant.
Yeah. Fuck Tom. No, it's not Tom Brady. But like, it's the thing is it's, you know, it's become a running joke where it's like, you know what, the refs are blind and they're easily distracted. And fucking, like, basically the refs are a referee based on someone interfering in the match. And, like, they can't compose themselves unless somebody gets in the way.
Right.
But it's gone beyond running gag territory. Like, literally, as a company, you should ban Ric Flair from being ringside because you can't pretend you're not seeing that anymore. Yeah.
And it makes Charlotte's competitors look fucking dumb. They should walk up to him with a steel chair and beat the shit out of him till he's dead.
But it doesn't necessarily make them look dumb as much as it makes Charlotte look weak. Like, you're doing the exact opposite of what you're trying to do when you push Charlotte, because you're not pushing her anymore. She looks like she doesn't belong on the big stage. She needs to take a step back and go back to NXT and rework her way back up to the big leagues because she can't win.
But this is how the WWE pushes heels, though. They don't push heels as dominant heels unless your name is Brock Lesnar. When's the last dominant heel you've seen? Kurt Angle?
I mean, for me, technically, yes. That's not sarcasm or ironic because I haven't watched wrestling in the longest time. But I think I understand what you mean.
Yeah, and the thing is they try to capture the four horsemen-isms of Ric Flair. It's like, well, Ric Flair had J.J. Dillon in his corner. I was like, yeah, but Ric Flair was a good wrestler, too.
No, Charlotte's a good wrestler. She is. No. I'm not trying to take anything away from her about that. She's a good wrestler. She's a great seller. She's a terrible character. She's terrible on the mic. And she should not be champion, in my opinion, which means fucking nothing. She shouldn't be champion.
The thing is, like, that's what makes it so much worse to me, though. Like, she is actually good at what she does. She's a good wrestler. She doesn't need to have Ric Flair there to cheat her way to victory. Or she shouldn't need her way to cheat her way. Like, you can build up a heel without having them, like, win by cheating all the time.
I will say I do like how they've built up the figure eight that once she puts it on, like, you tap out, even if she cheated to get there. Like, yeah, you tap out.
Which is fine.
Yeah, they haven't done that in a heel submission move in a long fucking time that I can remember. Maybe like the yes lock, they did it for a little bit, but like, I mean, the cattle mutilation that became like the yes lock. Like, I guess like maybe that's the last time they've done something like that. That like heel was like had a dominant like submission move, but realistically, the last time I remember that was Kurt Angle. Like when he was a heel and he put the straps down and he put you in the heel hook, you were fucked.
Ankle lock, yes, you were done.
Yeah, it was the ankle lock with the heel hook. Like, he put the straps down, ankle lock, heel hooked you. You were fucking fucked. Like, you're done. Yeah. No matter who you were, you were tapping out to that.
You tapped out immediately.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, but the thing that always gets me is look at how they booked Kurt Angle during his first title run. He was the youngest WWE champion ever at that time. They booked him as a pussy-ass heel who hid from everybody. And never faced, and like Chris Jericho's first title run was the exact same thing as a heel. It was a pussy-ass whip bitch who ran away from everybody. It seems to be like the WWE takes, like, they take their heels for granted. They give them their first run as a heel till they get, like, popular. They let him drop the title. They turn him face and then turn him back heel again and then make him super vicious heel the second time. And that's what Kurt Angle was the second time, was a super vicious heel. Chris Jericho's, like, fucking second heel run was amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing good.
But that's the thing. The thing is, and I guess the problem is like you just said, they were all the same. Like, you need to, I understand that you're trying to make this person completely reprehensible, and what's more reprehensible than a cheater?
Right.
But change it up. Just, he can, maybe this one's just an asshole. Maybe this one means well, but he just comes about it all, goes about it all wrong. I mean, like, it doesn't have to be the same. You don't have to reuse the same formula for making me dislike a character.
I agree. Yeah, the formula should be that it's the idea of, like, the perfect villain is that they need to believe whatever their actions are. They need to believe in it.
I feel like Eddie Guerrero's theme song is where they put their villain formula, where they just kind of slipped it in.
The light, cheat, steal.
Yeah.
Were you setting me up?
No, I was just referencing because I lie, I cheat, I steal, and that's basically how all WWE villains act. You lie about some shit, you cheat a bunch of times, and, like, you might steal a belt or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but that's what makes it. Viva la raza!
This sounds like Rey Mysterio sang this song.
I also feel like this was Trump's fucking.
This is the reason he ran for president.
Yeah, like, he just heard the song. Like, wait, you do?
Delight, oh my god, and the stealing.
How much fucking steroids was Eddie Guerrero on by the end? Good lord, how big this motherfucker got.
Yeah, I still miss him.
Oh, of course, yeah. Like, he was a. He was a roid freak, but good lord, like, my god, was that guy, like, I was reading a book about a bunch of dead wrestlers, and it's like how we, like, kind of villainize Chris Benoit, I mean, justifiably so, but we canonize Eddie Guerrero, but they were both, like, concussed roid freaks. Like, they both used HGH. They both were, like, steroided up. They both had, like, ridiculous concussions. But it's just, like, I guess because Eddie died of a heart attack versus going nuts and killing his family, like, disgusting-ass Benoit.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. No, I get it. I'm not trying to say, like, one, like...
Oh, that, okay, right.
Yeah, I'm not trying to say, like Benoit deserves, like, any sort of condolences at all. But it's just interesting, like, how we've canonized Guerrero, even though he did up to the point of what Benoit did. You know, like, it's just like, it's just thing, like, he did lie and he did cheat.
Yeah,
I mean, he did. Like, he did, like, lie about his build. And I was reading about how he was having a match with Kurt Angle on SmackDown, and I guess, like, the story is that it was a lumberjack match. And Guerrero, like, Kurt Angle was going to try to get Guerrero, and Guerrero, like, screams at him, like, don't touch me, like, don't touch me, because he was in so much pain, and it was about, like, 2 or 3 months before he died.
Yeah.
Because he was, like, all up on, like, painkillers and shit, because, like, this shit is, like, because I guess, like, I mean, Eddie went on record saying, like, he didn't really get how tough it was to be heavyweight champion. Like, you're on the road all the fucking time, and, like, I think this is, like, it's, like, everyone just, like, makes a mockery of, like, wrestlers dying young and shit, but they don't get, like, these wrestlers die young because they, like, do a shitload of drugs to be able to do their job 300 days a year. Like, what any of us work 300 days a year, like, getting our bodies destroyed? None of us.
Dude, no. I can go, like, 2 months before I gotta take a fucking day off.
Yeah.
And not, like, a weekend day. Like, I gotta take, like, an actual fucking day off. Like, and my job isn't anywhere near as stressful as that shit. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not as physically demanding or anything like that. Like, my job's annoying.
Yeah.
But, like, it's not fucking.
Yeah.
I don't work 300 days out of the year, and I don't have to fucking put my body through the ringer every fucking night for the amusement of a bunch of fucking drunken assholes.
Yeah. Our jobs are mentally draining. They're not, like, they're not mentally and physically destructive like this. So.
Right.
All right, so
that's the biggest difference, yeah. I think.
So I think I gave this match a C-. Bob, what about you? The triple threat.
I think it's at C-, as well.
Okay, Rod?
Yeah, like a C-, D+. Okay.
So we'll move on to probably the biggest selling point of this god-awful WrestleMania, which was Undertaker and Shane McMahon in the Hell in the Cell.
Dude, can you believe how old Shane McMahon got?
Mm-hmm. I can't believe that, and I can't believe how ripped that motherfucker is for his age. Yeah,
he's in good shape.
Well, he's got abs upon abs upon abs, and got no abs.
I want to say, like, that's like a side effect of being in a business where being in shape is, you know, is king.
You mean steroids?
Right. where being in shape via steroids is king.
Well, here comes the money.
Yeah. Money. But, he's in good shape.
I got Shane's theme song queued.
Are you ready for the greatest star of all? Let's all get up on our feet.
It's S-H-A-N-E. M-C-M-H-A-O-N. Ain't he great?
Ain't he great?
Jesus, man. Jeff fucking Jarrett.
That's still one of my favorite intros ever. All right. So I mean, this Hell in a Cell was fucking garbage. They paced it well enough that it felt epic. Felt like a good epic match. But I mean, watching it in hindsight, it's fucking terrible. At the time, it worked. But
Shane actually showed a little bit of his old self there.
Reckless.
Yeah, reckless. In,
the Yakuza missions.
Yeah, those missions.
Okay.
No, but I mean, like he got off the floor. He got off the ground. Like he moved. He was athletic. It wasn't like watching fucking Triple H or Ric Flair or any of that. Like, you know, he was actually still putting in work.
But that was the point of the match, was like Shane McMahon doing that one big spot. And I don't think you guys, I mean, I don't know if you noticed, but they had like those super gigantic pads under the announce table because, I mean, it was going
right
to happen.
He's old as shit now.
Yeah, and they had to have him bounce off something, which I didn't get. I get, because like that was still a gigantic ass bump. It was ridiculous to do that. But this match was fucking terrible. It was terrible. At the time, it seemed like it worked well, but good lord, was it bad. And here's the thing that gets me. The point of this match was either Shane takes over Raw. If he wins, he gets Raw and Undertaker never wrestles at WrestleMania again. Yep. He loses. Vince, it's standard events, what's been happening, right? So the only positive could have been Shane winning. Undertaker pins him clean in the middle of the fucking ring. And what do they do for the next 4 weeks on Raw?
Shane?
Is they give Shane power of Raw. Completely, completely disavowing whatever the fuck meant for this match. Like, Shane killing himself doesn't mean anything, because Vince all of a sudden is like, oh, you know what, Shane? I'm going to give you power anyway. Rah! And then walks away.
that's exactly how he said it, too.
Yeah.
Jackhammer!
Yeah. What is the fucking point of having stipulations at WrestleMania if you're not going to go with them? Why could they? And this is another thing of where they booked themselves into a fucking corner. Here's how I would have booked this. Which is, you remember the 2 weeks before Raw, Triple H and Stephanie made a big shit show about shitting on Dolph Ziggler. And they had a match. Triple H said, if you beat me, I think it was if he beat Triple H, he could involve himself in any match in WrestleMania if he wanted to.
Yeah.
But you know what they did? Triple H beats him clean in the middle of the ring, because that's what Triple H does. Why not keep burying people when you're 50 years old? What they should have done was have Roman Reigns come out, distract Triple H. Dolph Ziggler rolls up Triple H, gets the victory. And Dolph Ziggler says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stick myself into that Shane McMahon Undertaker Hell in a Cell match. Because I don't want the authority to have power anymore. So he wants to beat the Undertaker the same way Shane McMahon does. He does not want them in power anymore. And what do you solve at that point? You have a guy who could bump. You have a guy who could wrestle. You have a guy who will willing to sell like no either of them would do. And you have 2-on-1 against the authority. So you have a lot of vested interest going to that match. But no. Yeah. They do the exact opposite of any of that shit, because why do anything interesting when you could just do the status quo? And that's what they do, the fucking status quo.
Yeah, my biggest issue with this match was, why the fuck was Shane wrestling in the first place? Like, it made absolutely zero sense for Shane McMahon to be wrestling The Undertaker.
I think this was supposed to be Sting, but he never recovered, and he retired.
Yeah. But still.
And both their names start with S.
Yeah. We already got half, like a quarter of the poster made. Mm-hmm. it makes absolutely no sense, like in terms of like booking. Like, The Undertaker is supposed to be like on par or if not better than Brock Lesnar, but he's having a hard time beating the boss's son, who hasn't wrestled since what, 2006? Maybe 2005? He's not really a quote unquote wrestler either.
Yeah.
But he's going to have the hardest match of his life to fucking stay at WrestleMania.
This is the only thing that would have saved this match.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I feel like I know where this is going. I don't like it.
Dead man walking.
Dead man walking.
Keep rolling, 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 rolling,
rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling. Zero, this is for you.
Pass the chocolate starfish and the hot dog flavored water.
Yeah, this match being booked differently.
Whoops, sorry.
Jesus.
I didn't mean to do that.
Shane should have had someone wrestle for him. Like, he'd be like, "Hey, you know what? I'm not a wrestler anymore. I can't do those bumps." They should have thrown someone in there, like.
Like Dolph Ziggler, like I just explained, how it would have fit perfectly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's
within
what I mean,
their own storyline that they made that story possible and then didn't do shit about it.
Yeah,
it would have worked fucking perfectly. I'm dumbfounded at their fucking stupidity, because they don't want to change a goddamn status quo whatsoever, because they're terrified. They're terrified of losing viewers.
Yeah, and that was my biggest issue with this match, was you expect me, like, okay, I'm going to be the mark. Like, I want to believe that wrestling in some realm is somewhat of a story that I can believe in.
All right, Mulder.
Like, it makes no sense that you think that the owner's son, who hasn't been in the ring for so many years, is going to fight the most badass entity at WrestleMania and win. Like, the
god damn it,
the booking in this match made no fucking sense.
Yeah,
but that's the theme of this WrestleMania. Oh, you want something that makes sense? Fuck you.
Yeah, fuck off and die.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know, dude.
I don't know what's playing. Is cooking.
As I lay me down to sleep,
oh God.
I pray my soul is mine to keep. My soul can never step outside this bed. Never into all the evil. Now back.
Keep rolling, 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 rolling.
Yeah, I'm scared of you, Fred. I'm sorry. Like amazing grace. I'm gonna fuck some hoes
after I'm super fly. What's happening?
It's American Badass.
Oh Lord.
That's his big evil theme.
Oh God. Dead man walking. Oh God. What did you think, Rod?
Of youth.
Such an ass.
I don't think this match should have happened.
Yeah.
Shit is so bad.
Oh Lord. What
the fuck are they thinking? What the fuck are they thinking? Did they get divorced or something like that?
Yeah, they are. Yeah. I love how in storyline terms her name was Sarah Undertaker. Her last name was Undertaker in their storylines.
Wait, are you serious?
Yes.
Oh boy.
That's the stupidest shit I've ever heard.
Should we talk about He Who Should Not Be Named?
Who? Iron Sheik? Sabio Vega. Junkyard Dog?
I mean, he's basically Voldemort at this point.
Yeah, I think you're okay to talk about Kevin Nash now. It's cool.
All right, so Rod, you gave this a grade?
Like a C.
Wow, you're generous.
Yeah, I am. I said Shane did some stuff. Like, it's nice to see, even though he's older, he can still move and shaking.
He is probably the most over face in the company, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, considering what he was before. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's just like from a storyline standpoint, if you're gonna make a deal for something like that, like I'm on control of Raw, like you don't put yourself up against the one person who's only ever lost once at WrestleMania. I mean, like you don't challenge the 96 Bulls to a basketball match for President of the United States.
Yeah, you don't ever challenge someone to a basketball match. Old ass motherfucker.
Why not?
Because they ain't called basketball matches, son.
But you can. They are sometimes. Anyway,
you don't challenge Michael Jordan to a game of one-on-one. Basketball fisting.
Now, I give this match a D. I'm not gonna give into that spot. I mean, it was impressive. I'm not gonna say it's not.
No, I'm not even talking about the him jumping off the top of the cage. I mean, just like all like the leaping, spinning back elbow thing, like his now signature move, the Shane Terminator, and just generally taking a beating. Like, yeah. He took some hard knocks, some hard hits. His face into the turnbuckle was pretty grody looking. It's pretty fucking gnarly. But he put in work. Like, he did his thing. Like, he took some hits, took some bumps, took some spills, dished out some punishment.
He took some what? He took some hard knocks?
Oh, God.
No. What is that? Is that a... Is that a... Oh. Uh-huh.
Oh, Lord.
Also have Jay-Z queued up. How nice. Uh-huh.
I don't want to get sued by Jay-Z. I don't want Jay-Z to fuck me and then Beyonce write a song about it.
I don't understand. Why the fuck would you cheat on pre-crisis Beyonce?
Because every girl is cheatable and so is every guy ever. People just cheat on people.
No.
If Beyonce wrote a song about me, it would be called Chocolate Rain.
Yeah.
Oh boy. What happened to this show?
WrestleMania happened to this show.
You pour this in chocolate rain.
That guy is legit my hero. Legit, my hero.
What did you give the match, son?
Legit.
I gave the
hero.
I gave this. This has been a fucking train wreck of an episode.
I don't know what's happening anymore.
It's been an hour and 10 minutes. We've talked about three matches.
This is what happens when you give us shit to talk about. Shit out, shit in, man.
I told you this was going to be more entertaining than WrestleMania was.
It was so fucking bad.
Yeah, I gave this not a D, but the D.
So you fuck your TV.
Chocolate rain.
It can be here again. Chocolate rain.
That song is so good.
It's so good.
It's literally too good.
I want to play the whole thing, but I'm not going to. All right. So the next match is the Battle Royal, the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Battle Royale.
Royale, yes. Royale with cheese. With Fandango, Damian Sandow, Shaq Diesel, Big Show, Victor from The Ascension, Diamond Dallas Page, Connor from The Ascension, Tatanka, who they keep digging up for some reason. Which I honestly think at this point they're only digging up Tatanka because Vince McMahon is pissed off about the Redskins getting shit. So I guarantee you that's the only reason he brings up Tatanka, to piss people off.
So he's pushing that shit?
Yeah. So Jack Swagger, R-Truth, Goldust, Curtis Axel, Adam Rose, Heath Slater, Tyler Breeze, Mark Henry, Bo Dallas, Darren Young, and Kane were all in the Giving Battle Royal. One surprisingly by the man from NXT, Baron Corbin. What do you guys think about that?
I like that outcome. You bring someone fresh in and to win the whole thing. But Baron Corbin, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Nothing racist about this theme song. No, nothing racist at all.
I don't think it's a song that we have problems with. I mean, yeah, but not quite.
Yeah, this match was whatever. I guess it's supposed to bring everybody down after the...
But, I mean, everyone super popped when Baron Corbin won. I mean, that was really cool.
Yeah.
I love that they have matches scheduled to be shit, so that we can, like... Everybody chill out. Shit wasn't as good as you thought it was going
to
be. We're sorry.
We also get to the
point...
Calm
the fuck down.
We also get to the double point of having double bullshit segments back to back. So we have the gimmick... I mean, the gimmick battle royal, basically.
That's what it was.
Which is, I mean, you're having Damian Sandow getting the biggest pops out of any mid-carder on the roster, and they won't push him, which I don't understand at all. But whatever. But Baron Corbin winning got a good pop, and it was decent. I mean, like, fucking C-. I mean, who gives a shit a C? I mean, how can you, like, hate that or like that match? It is what it was. That's what it was.
It was nothing.
Yeah, it was a C for me, Bob.
Yeah,
it was an unsalted cracker of a match.
It's C as well.
Rod?
C.
Okay.
Said he died.
Wait, I just said it was an unsalted cracker of a match. Nobody gets that.
Do you mean it's C or you can't see me?
No, C, no. And then, John Cena, no hair, no.
And then we get to the crowning turd in the water pipe of WrestleMania, which is The Rock coming to stink up the stage for 20 plus fucking minutes of garbage. Garbage. Lighting his own name on fire with a flamethrower.
Which looked like a t-shirt gun.
Yes.
So what's the point?
Endlessly killing that segment. Till the Wyatt showed up, and then he pats Bray Wyatt on the head saying how awesome he is, and then immediately crushes his family into turning face. Like, he beats them so bad they turn face.
He does. He
beats the gimmick out of
him. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I mean, I always thought that Luke Harper was always the most talented out of all four, I guess, at this point, the White family members. You know, he was like, his name started with like a B on the indie circuit. I can't remember what it is right now, but he was always like, but he fucked up his knee, I guess, so he was out for WrestleMania, which really sucks for him that he didn't get squashed by The Rock. So instead of like the White family getting crushed 3-on-1, it could have been 4-on-1 if Luke Harper was there. And then Cena shows up and double crushes them. So like, if you didn't think he crushed the White family before when Bray Wyatt was wrestling him 1-on-1 and Cena beat the shit out of him in 3 straight matches, here's Cena to put the exclamation point on raping the Wyatt family and probably fuck Sister Abigail too. And there you go. Like, fuck you and all of what you believe in, and the Wyatts are faces.
He's like, so you think you're untouchable?
Yeah.
Word life.
Let me show you basic fucking
You shut your goddamn mouth.
No, it was terrible. I don't know. I can't.
A thing that made no fucking sense in WrestleMania. This wasn't even a booking thing. This was just like, what the fuck just happened?
Bob, I gotta tell you this. I love you.
Brother Love?
Yeah. Oh, man. How is Brother Love not in the Hall of Fame? Please.
Because he doesn't love you.
Isn't that Bruce
Pritchard? Is he not in the Hall of Fame?
No. That's Bruce Pritchard, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he should be in. Such a fucking great gimmick. And the way they fucking spray painted his face red, too.
Yeah.
Wonderful. All right. But yes, this segment was garbage, and I hate The Rock. And the only way I really want The Rock to never come to WrestleMania again. I'm done with him. I'm tired. Like, I'm tired of him the way I was tired of him when he was face Rock and wrestling all the fucking time. Once a year is too much for this fucking piece of shit at this point. I'm done. I am done. I get he's a good guy and he wants to keep his roots. But you know what? Sing the Roots song with Flo Rida and move on your way, because nobody wants to fucking see you anymore.
Oh, I still want to see him.
Fuck
but,
you.
Just not in WrestleMania. I'll watch his movies or something. I don't know. But no, yeah, you're right.
What? How wasted of a segment was this?
It was meaningless. I mean,
except to crush the Wyatt family dead. That's all it did.
And the thing is, the really sad part about that, like the really really sad part about that, is I think that was just an unfortunate side effect of the actual fucking segment. Like, I don't think the intention was to break the Wyatt family. I think that was just something that ended up happening because they needed somebody for The Rock to fucking pummel to death, and the Wyatt family is it.
Why couldn't have been the social outcasts who are garbage and nobody cares about?
Because the Wyatt family is legit. So you give The Rock a legit-ass group of people to fucking slaughterhouse because he's The Rock. And again, it's that whole, like, the legends are fucking superheroes.
No, like, this is the reason why they wouldn't do it. I come from my dad. Oh, wait, not that one. This one.
Well, you know, everyone has a price.
Everybody's got a price. Everybody's gonna pay.
One of the best fucking heels of all time.
Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase? Yeah. Oh, yeah. He made Tatanka turn.
Yep.
For money.
And Sapphire. Don't forget Sapphire.
Sapphire
too.
For money.
Some might cross the There's road. Nothing more 90s than this theme song. The ping. Some might cost a lot. Oh man, what a great song.
Hey, can we really quickly before we wrap this up so I can go to bed and go to work? Because I'd rather go to work than watch this shit again. Which should tell you a lot, actually. What the fuck was Stephanie McMahon wearing?
I don't know.
She's I don't know, but it was fucking hot. Yeah, it was awesome.
I don't know what they're going for with it. Like,
They want me to masturbate in the middle of WrestleMania is what they were going for.
And mission accomplished.
Is she like Dark Phoenix now? Is that what's fucking happening?
Yeah,
she made me rise. Hey, oh! Boo.
Hey.
Repo Man.
You should have been in that fucking Battle Royale.
You should have been at the fucking main event.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Repo Man.
I love it when the theme song is somebody saying the guy's name. That's my favorite.
Repo Man.
Like, whose theme song is this again?
It sounds like Big Man.
Repo Man.
Are you sure it's Repo Man's song?
Repo Man.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Repo Man's song.
Repo
I thought it was Junkyard Dog for a second. No. I'm pretty
Repo
sure it's
Repo Man.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Repo Man.
His theme
like
song,
70-30.
His theme song should have just been this repeating over and over. Repo
Man.
Repo Man.
I'm going to take your shit.
Repo Man.
Does he sound like Ving Rhames? I mean, Michael Kirk Duncan?
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
I loved his theme song, Barry Darso. Fucking Axe. He was Axe, right?
I think so, yeah.
From Demolition? Yeah, he was one of the Demolition guys. I think it was Axe. But yeah, so what are you talking about, Rod?
What the fuck was Stephanie McMahon wearing?
Oh, yeah. I will say that fucking intro she gave Triple H was fucking awesome. I dug it. Like, I know a lot of people didn't like it. I thought it was fucking great. It got some awesome heel heat that match was well-deserved because they knew that everyone's going to root, like, cheer for Triple H because everyone hates Roman Reigns, which they did. And they muted the crowd reaction to Roman Reigns coming in to the boos. And that match was fucking garbage bad. Garbage bad. It was one of the worst WrestleMania main events I can remember. I can't remember in the recent memory like something this bad in terms of a main event. It was boring to the point where I was watching, like, I was looking at my watch, being like, when is this fucking over? Like, I literally said that. When is this over? This match is fucking terrible.
Yeah, this was on par for me, like Cena versus The Miz main event. It was that bad.
I was going to bring something like that out too, but like I never like seen those live.
Oh, man.
I watched those in hindsight.
That was brutal.
Yeah, this was a nightmare. A nightmare. And the crowd wasn't into any of it. They hated Triple H. They eventually hated Triple H, I mean. They for sure hated Roman Reigns all the way fucking through. The only time they popped is when Roman Reigns speared Stephanie because, like, you know, we all love abuse on women now. I mean, in the modern era.
That's that good shit.
Yeah. Because, like, we're cool with that now. Like, I mean, it's not, I mean, even though it's not 1999 anymore, like, we all love watching women get the shit kicked out of them, so. Yeah, this match was a fucking nightmare clusterfuck piece of shit. And they screwed the pooch by having, they knew Sheamus was never going to get over as champion. I mean, they had him, like, waste his money in the bank, like, pretty much immediately. And I mean, I don't know. I honestly don't know where they go from here. Like, I really don't know. Like, Roman Reigns is not getting over as champion. Everyone hates him. And they keep thinking, it's Cena heat where, like, you know, like Cena's drawing people. But I've also read that at the house shows, like, he's drawing people.
Cool.
Reigns.
Well, I guess he's drawing people so they want to boo his ass.
Well, the thing is, it's going to be a war of attrition. It's going to be the exact same thing that happened with Cena.
Yeah. You just got to remember, Saudi, he's not a good guy. He's not a bad guy.
He's the guy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Fuck, is that a reference to?
That's what
he says every promo. Every single promo. That's what he says.
Yeah. That's how he's trying to be like, I'm a tweener.
Yeah.
No, I think that's...
mm-hmm.
That is literally what he says every promo.
Yep.
Man, that's stupid.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's beyond stupid.
And I mean, we've gotten to the point where now, like, they're going to sacrifice indie darlings to his altar. AJ Styles is going to lose. I mean, we're at 11:33 p.m. tonight on Sunday night of Payback, and AJ Styles lost, right, Bob?
Yeah, that was a given.
Yeah,
that you didn't even have to watch it to know he wasn't going to win.
So AJ Styles lost, which so they're just going to sacrifice these guys to Roman Reigns' altar. They're just going to bring up, and I'm sure the next person who's going to challenge him would be like Sami Zayn or someone, and he's just going to crush another indie guy. And that's going to be the WWE is like our guy, and he's going to beat every single one of your guys that you wanted to like, but tough shit. So, yeah, that's it. Fuck Roman Reigns. Fuck that main event at WrestleMania. I give that shit a solid D-. That match sucked balls. A main event at WrestleMania should not be asking me. I should not be asking myself, when is this over?
Yeah.
And I asked myself that about 4 times.
Yeah. And I watched that whole shit 7 fucking hours. I was too. Sitting here watching it.
I did the same.
And I was angry. I was like,
that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I am. Yeah. But still, like, it's fucking awful match. The matches would, I knew he was going to win. Give me a fucking decent match. That's all I ask.
Yeah.
I mean, at a certain point, it's just like, get the fuck over yourself. Like, this isn't creative. This isn't fun. This is nothing like what it should be.
Yeah.
Nothing like what it used to be. Nothing like what it's supposed to be. Yeah. This isn't what you're selling me.
Yeah. You know what I did
when this is trash.
You know what I did when WrestleMania ended, Rod? I put on NXT Dallas and watched Shinsuke versus Sami Zayn again. Mm-hmm. That's what I did.
That was a legit ass fucking match.
To wash the stink of WrestleMania off of me.
This was one of the worst WrestleManias I've ever seen in my life. Like,
so I have a quick question.
Sure, go for it.
Both NXTs that I bothered watching, both the NXT pay-per-views, were legit as fuck. They were really good. Like I said, the first one made me really, really, really want to get back into wrestling and shit. Uh-huh. In fact, the one I watched last year was the reason why I bought WWE 2K16.
Oh, okay.
Which I haven't played in a while. Because it was fuck. I'm sorry. I just can't get past fucking, like, the Highlander Cena.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Jesus, fuck that. It's so stupid. But, it made me, I watched a bunch of YouTube clips about, like, just basically shit that I missed that was pretty interesting. Like, I did see the Shawn Michaels versus Old Man River match.
Undertaker?
I thought that was, no.
Oh, Ric Flair?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Death, yeah. That was pretty emotional. But, like, just a bunch of other stuff. Like, a lot of Randy Orton shit, which is really cool. I actually really like Randy Orton. Like,
yeah. I think Randy Orton as a legend is severely underrated.
Mm-hmm.
He's a legit legend at this point.
Yeah, like so much of his stuff was so good. But yeah, just watched not any like full matches really, but just a bunch of shit like cool like top 20 finishers from this guy.
Yeah, but Randy Orton's called Blandy Orton for a reason because he's boring.
Whatever, I like Randy. But anyway,
I do too. But he's boring.
Yeah, he's not the most exciting person. Yeah. Like, he's not anymore. He used to be back when he first came in, when he was just an arrogant prick.
Yeah,
he used to be pretty fun.
Now he's just a psychopath. But,
yeah, it's just crazy. It seems to be the way we go. The good guys just got to be crazy, I guess.
I thought he was the apex predator.
The apex viper, the legend predator.
The legend predator.
The apex killer. I don't know.
The kindergarten predator. That's what Bob's nickname is, right? The preschool viper.
The preschool viper. There you go. But yeah, but I think like I
disgusting I Jared Fogel over here.
Jared Fogel.
Oh boy.
Sorry,
I hope he gets the ass kicked again.
Yeah, me too.
But yeah, like that's how good the NXT pay per view was, and this was a recent one too. Like if I didn't watch WrestleMania or I didn't skim through WrestleMania right afterwards. I might have actually picked up and played WWE 2K16 again. And I might have made a wrestler. I might have done some shit. I might have looked at some more videos. But this show was so bad. Like this. And not this particular one, but shit like this is the reason why I don't give a shit about wrestling.
Yeah. You know how bad WrestleMania was, Rod? They reset everything after WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. It's like WrestleMania is like, You remember WrestleMania was that big event in the multiverse that happened? It erased everything.
Back Crisis on Infinite Earth.
Exactly. Yeah. WrestleMania never happened in the WWE. Yeah. It never happened. Shane McMahon's been holding control of Raw for 3 or 4 weeks now, and then Stephanie just came back, so they're going to do another storyline where they're fighting for power.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. I haven't seen what happened in that on Payback yet, so.
I haven't watched it. I honestly don't give a shit because, I mean, what was the fucking match? What was the match? Was there one?
No, it's just Vince is going to be like, who's going to give you control of Raw? Oh my God, that's it.
Who fucking cares? Who cares? Like, God damn.
It would mean more if something actually changed, but nothing's gonna happen.
I get it was refreshing to have a face GM. Like, that was refreshing. Like, Shane as a face GM was nice. Like, to book matches and blah, 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 blah. Shit made sense. Raw's been enjoyable for the last, like, 3 or 4 weeks that he's been, quote, unquote, in charge. But in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter because USA Network wants Triple H and Stephanie at the helm because that's when ratings go up. They want that, and they want John Cena. That's what they want. So they're going to get it. So it doesn't matter. Whatever we want doesn't fucking matter. And, like, in the grand scheme of things, like, I don't want Shinsuke Nakamura to come up to the main roster because Vince will kill him. Like, who's this faggot Japanese guy doing all this faggot shit? Like, this guy's gay. Like, you might as well strap dildos on him. Make him make him the dildo queen.
Strap dildos on him.
Make him the cock monger. Yeah. He mongles cocks. That's his gimmick.
Yeah, make him Godzilla of crocs. Godzilla Cox, that's going to be his nickname now. Blah, make him throw up in a trash can. I'm Vince McMahon. I'm a genius.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Like, I think my dream match for WWE, for NXT, because fuck WWE. I mean, I know it's the same brand, but fuck WWE.
Yeah.
My dream match for NXT will be Kenta versus Kobayashi.
Nakamura.
Yeah. I think Kobayashi is Kenta's last name. Kenta versus Nakamura. Kobayashi versus Nakamura. That way we won't get confused anymore.
Yeah, I do.
I want to see that shit in the worst possible way. Because that's a dude that will take a GTS hard to the chin.
Oh, yeah. I watched this like really cool. Some guy cut an edit on Streamable of all of like Nakamura's entrances since he debuted into like Nakamura now. It's 8 minutes long and it's fucking awesome. Of like kind of just how he's developed as a character from this like drab, like boring ass face into this like fucking superstar monster awesome guy. It's crazy. It's spectacular.
Like, and that's the thing that like, so for a while, like the WWE was able to keep up with Japanese wrestling. Like, you had a legit back and forth. Like, Japanese wrestling, I think, was always superior. So was Mexican wrestling, actually. But like, it was pretty close. It was up there. You had Japanese fans legitimately fucking hyped to go see fucking WWE's superstar crossover match and shit. What the fuck happened?
And New Japan just like destroyed them.
And New Japan is still legitimately good. Like, and that's the thing. Like, just go back and because a lot of the stuff in the 90s was copied from other territories wrestling. So a lot of it was Mexican wrestling. A lot of it was Japanese wrestling. Go back and copy that shit again. Like, go back and take. Like, basically, WWE, like, you need to, like, basically, you need to end this era, and you need to come up with a new one that's going to fucking work.
Yeah.
Because, like, the PG era shit, like, the shit that you're trying to shovel isn't fucking working. Linda McMahon doesn't need to run for office anymore.
Yeah. She claims the PG era is pretty much here to stay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. It needs to go away, though.
Yeah.
Because you, and the thing is that because you're losing, like you're slipping back into the era where wrestling was obscure.
Yep.
In the early 90s, mid 90s, when no one gave a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have a working formula, you know what fucking worked. Late 90s, 2000s.
Yeah.
Go back and do that shit.
You don't have to get that nasty anymore either. Like, but just like.
No, you don't have to go over the top raunchy with fucking striptease matches and eggs. Edge having weird insta sex with Lita.
I think you're right with Egg though.
Funny story. Just the thing I saw on the freeway. I was driving behind a car on the way home in the 14, so I was there for like 3 days. But I was stuck behind a car whose license plate said rated RSS.
Oh, nice! That's awesome.
It was like the new Challengers. I think it was. But yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
Was it Edge?
I don't know. Even if I saw him, I don't think I'd know him though.
But can you, if you can know him?
I don't think I'll ever know him.
Oh boy. Yeah.
You think you know me?
On this day.
On this day.
I see clearly.
Oh my god!
That's one of my favorite theme songs ever.
Yeah, that's a good. That's a really good one.
I know it's like white boy angry rock music, but that shit is dope.
I like his original song. You think you know me? You'll never know me. So angsty.
All right. So what do we give that that main event match?
Yeah, fuck you. Out of 10.
Okay.
That's good. I'm a D minus. Almost F.
All right.
That's an F, dog. That's an F. Fuck it. That's a straight
legit
up
F.
F.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yes.
Wow.
I couldn't. I don't even know how I stayed awake to watch that match.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly don't know. I really can't remember like that. The last time I was begging for match to be over. Like it's been a long time. It's been a while.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
No, this match is fucking terrible.
It wasn't good at all.
It was fucking disgusting. Like I said, I gave the Dean Ambrose Brock Lesnar match an F, beat on printable, mostly alone because that was such a waste of potential. It's disgusting. But this match is just straight up deserved an F. Like this match is just fucking terrible.
Oh god.
This is a very litigious episode. We're shit.
I just did that.
Like this is bad. You're going to jail. We are going to jail.
We ain't making money off this shit. You think anybody paying us for anything?
Man, you kidding me, dog?
Good lord. All right, so all in all, what would you guys rate this WrestleMania?
Ugh. Can I still say fuck you out of 10? Does that still work?
No, you got to give a legit grade.
A C minus for me.
And I am here.
Oh, Jesus.
A fucking D.
A D?
Yeah.
Yeah, I give this a D plus. So I guess we're kind of all in between with each other. I think the first half of it was somewhat enjoyable, and the second half of it was a goddamn train wreck. In the grand scheme of things, there were two matches where I thought the people who should have won, which isn't good. I mean, Baron Corbin winning the Battle Royal was good. Brock Lesnar beating Dean Ambrose was good, but not in the way it happened. Charlotte shouldn't have won. Roman Reigns shouldn't have won. The Rock shouldn't have won. The League of Nations shouldn't have won. Chris Jericho shouldn't have won. Zack Ryder shouldn't have won. So, I mean, in my fucking opinion, and you know what they say, like, oh, you're just some fucking desk jockey faggot. Doesn't matter what you think. But look what's happened. Zack Ryder lost a title the next night on Raw. Chris Jericho, not even close to anything towards the main event, although AJ Styles just got crushed by Roman Reigns. League of Nations is a goddamn joke with King Barrett gone. New Day is still going strong. Brock Lesnar, nowhere to be seen. Charlotte is Charlotte. And she's not special, and Becky Lynch and Sasha are still bigger than her. Shane McMahon is way more over than The Undertaker is right now. And Triple H way more over than Roman Reigns. So, WrestleMania's accomplished nothing, and it was a joke, and it was terrible. And this was, to me, this is like bottom 10 WrestleMania of all time, easy. Bottom 5 is getting into like sticky territory, but bottom 10, easily, I could say this is one of the worst WrestleManias I've ever seen. This is garbage.
Yeah, she's not good.
Yeah, I would say, I don't know, bottom 5. Ooh, there's some real stinkers in there.
No, that's why I say like bottom 10, I could say bottom 5 is not, it's not as strong to say bottom 5, but bottom 10 for sure.
Yeah, bottom 10 for, yeah.
Yeah, this is the bottom bitch of WrestleMania's, or one of the bottom bitches. So fuck this show, this is garbage. Thank you all for sitting through this mess with us for the last 3 hours over two episodes. Really appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us at BlurstEp Ever on Twitter.
You now, promise that the rest of the episodes aren't this fucking insane. Although, quite frankly,
Bob, are you doing cocaine right now?
No, I think he's crying.
No, it's my I'm crying. The WrestleMania wasn't better. No, I got allergies.
No, as you were a snot bubble crying. Yeah.
By allergies, I mean cocaine.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm snorting allergies.
Oh man!
But yeah,
this was
a mess of a WrestleMania, a mess.
Yeah, we'll be back to the old grind of the BlurstEp Ever.
Yeah,
so dude, this makes me miss fucking Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, so well, we will be doing Saved by the Bell and Twin Peaks on our next episode. We promise. I know we've been promising that for a while, but we will absolutely do that. Don't forget that you can email us at blurstepever@gmail.com. We want to acknowledge that none of this music on this episode is our own. It's all copywritten generally by the WWE and other people. We do not claim any copyright on any of this shit, and we're not making money off it, so go fuck yourself. And I think
fair use, please God, fair use, save me, please.
Yeah, I mean this doesn't really qualify as fair use because we're not using the sound to review the sound, we're just using it to use it.
So damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Yeah.
But we'll be, right?
Yeah, exactly. We'll see. But Bob, how's our Twitter going?
Oh, it's going.
Is it really?
Is that a lie? Did you just lie to my going? Face?
Oh, I tweeted about China's death.
Oh, was it boy. Tasteful?
Well, it was.
He's like, I wish that bitch would fuck me. Rigor mortis is setting in.
I wanted to do her as the She-Hulk. Did you hear about that, Rod? Did you see that, Rodney?
No.
She played She-Hulk in the Avengers porno. Mm-hmm.
No.
I'll let that sink in for you.
All right. Well, don't forget to follow us at BlurstEp Ever on Twitter, BlurstEp Ever on Facebook. You can email us at blurstepever@gmail.com. And until then, this is Sadi saying adios. Bob, anything left?
No. I hate Kevin Dunn.
Rod?
I don't like WrestleMania.
And don't forget, none of this music is ours. We promise you.